Brent, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay. It's a wonderful day here for May. I've had the windows open all day and have not had the air conditioner on. So anytime we do that in this state, this late, it's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. I think I got sunburned over the weekend. I happened to be out on the golf course and, of course, forgot to put on sunscreen. So that was not too fun. But a beautiful day nonetheless. And when we get more and more of this beautiful weather, the countdown to these college preview magazines, Brent, just keeps on getting closer and closer and closer. I saw an update from Phil Steele yesterday that his magazine is the plan is for a month from now to have the final page sent to get the magazine all wrapped up.
The only one I haven't heard from is Lindy's. The Athlon is due out June 7th. And, Phil is just on schedule. He's got a later time to come out
right
and hit the shelves. So, frankly, it really doesn't matter for him necessarily. But for the other two, it probably is going to delay them at least a week, if not two, and obviously because of the portal, they really did not have a choice.
And speaking of the portal, so some of these new guidelines have come out. There's been obviously a lot of debate as to whether or not we should have two transfer windows. Well, what we should do with the scholarship limit. Based on what I'm reading, again, this is the actual document itself, which is a little bit hard for some folks to really go through. But based on what it says, as for transfer window for college football, the Football Oversight Committee supported establishing two transfer windows, a fall and a spring. Not beyond any of those details, Brent, how necessary is it for college football to have two transfer windows for this portal?
I think it just limits where they are going, and I think that's a good thing. Frankly, it's something just needed to happen. They needed to come out with some kind of guidelines, some kind of limits on where they are to go along with that. Now, what just happened is the Division I Board of Directors announced new guidelines in regards to NIL with emphasis on recruiting, specifically targeting inducements and new NIL collectives that have formed across the country. I'm glad they're trying to do something, but there's a lot and so much here that we really don't know if you can put a noose around it or not. At least they are planning and doing a couple in why they're doing this. I mean, Drew, there's no doubt that all of this is out of control. But the other problem here that's not talked about much is the reason these presidents, ADs, are upset about it is because some of the money, maybe a lot of the money, that normally would go to a university is going to these collectives instead, and they're not going to be getting the normal revenue they normally get. So I think they're concerned about that. I get it, that they want to do something differently. But again, does this mean that it's really going to work? If they do this, would it be antitrust? If they try to put a cap on it, would it be a problem for the athletes? And I tell you another problem with that, with this, for the athletes, Drew, is these guys, okay, let's say you get your NIL deal and you get a F-150 truck to go along with it. Well, I think what these kids are not realizing is they're also going to have to pay taxes on some of this stuff, and really no one's letting them know that, or not enough people. So, again, without belaboring the point here, there are way too many layers of this right now. But I am a little bit more optimistic this week than I was last week that some of the different entities are trying to do something about it.
Yeah, it is finally nice to be able to see, certain people try to step up. And Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith has come out and really been a voice, as has Rick George, the Colorado Athletic Director, to try to at least, point this ship in the right direction, it seems like, because we had just seen the ship is just spinning around and around and around, and now we've got some guidance as to where at least, we'd like things to go. Still, I would say a long ways to go. In sorts of really figuring this stuff out. I do want to jump to Anthony Richardson, who in all likelihood has some sort of an NIL deal himself. There have been mock drafts, Brent, and of course we get so caught up in this stuff for next year's NFL draft already, but he is mocked to go inside the top 10. Do you think that Anthony Richardson is actually capable of being a top 10 pick next year, or do you even think that he might not even come out and go to the NFL draft and just stay at school?
It's just, right now with him, he's a real wild card. People believe that that he's going to be very good. But what we don't know either is, can he stay healthy for an entire year? And will he be consistent? He throws too many interceptions. That's a problem, too. He's great size, 6'4", 237. I hope he has a really good year. I think this could be helpful. Jack Miller of Ohio State obviously is another one. By the way, if people haven't heard, Emory Jones has committed to play at Arizona State, so he's got a couple years remaining. I hope that works out. Another thing that I think is good for Gator fans to know, they've got a couple of commitments from IMG Academy, which is somewhere that particularly Dan Mullen never really got anybody from IMG. So I know that Gator beat writers and recruiting guys are making a big deal, and I think that's probably – fitting to let people know that that's real progress on the recruiting trail for them.
Yeah, and not that they had a far ways to go to be better than what Dan Mullen was, but I think the one thing, too, that a lot of people appreciate about Billy Napier is that, this goes back to the very beginning when he said, we want to recruit in Florida. We want to dominate the state of Florida. We want to build that fence not only around Gainesville, but we want to build a fence that not UCF or Miami or Florida State can even touch. We want to be able to get guys from Florida to stay at Florida, and particularly being Florida Gators. I think that's something that that obviously, you look at USC now with California, and Lincoln Riley's probably trying to do the same sort of deal in Ohio and Ohio State. I mean, you have top programs who dominate their particular areas, and Florida's looking to be that way. I think that's one of the more encouraging things, at least from what I've seen or what I've read, at least about Billy Napier, is that he's got a plan with recruiting, and he's got a lot of people around him who know what they're doing, and that obviously helps as well.
Man, situation, I think it suffice to say that during recruiting, when we're following in February, and particularly a little bit afterwards, Drew, they had a situation where they were in on kids that Florida would not. They were mentioned among the leaders, and they didn't get all of them. But the reality is, they were in on kids that there's no way in the world that they would even been close to that under Mullen. So, to see that in such a short period of time is really exciting for Gator fans, but the way they're shaking and moving with this, absolutely.
Moving over to baseball real quick, because we're getting closer and closer to what is NCAA tournament time, a little bit over a month away from the college baseball World Series and the softball stuff as well. We've got five SEC teams in the top 25, with the highest being Tennessee, of course, number one in the country. And then in softball, there's nine SEC teams being represented. Arkansas is the highest at four. Not a big surprise to see the depth with the SEC in the top 25, but I was a little bit surprised to see only five SEC teams in that baseball top 25 here.
Well, obviously that means that because of that, I think Hoover is going to be a lot more important. Also, and with teams coming out of there, I mean, Arkansas has stayed very high. Tennessee's been the toast of the town. I think what people did not expect was Texas A&M, but they drew. A&M is up to 10 now, and have really played tremendous baseball. And after they started out, frankly, very poorly, LSU is, I think, coming on. Auburn still up there, too. By the way, Florida State's 21, so that's good. How about Grand Canyon at 25? How many cars can you stop? Who can tell anything about Grand Canyon? But, look, that's the beauty of college baseball, is it not? But still, Drew, even though you don't make the top 25, the reality, too, by the way, Georgia's up near the top 25, too, you will see a lot of, I can't put a number on it right now, but as you mentioned, you've got a handful in the top 25, but I guarantee you, you'll probably have at least another three or four who will be involved, too.
Yeah, most definitely so. Did you watch the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, Brent?
Like a lot of people, no. But I certainly appreciated Rich Wright coming in the way that it did. I mean, that was brilliant writing at the end. Also,
oh yeah.
Also loved Mike Leach's comment about the and expanding the playoffs. And that horse winning would be associated with a school, maybe a 12, 11, 10 seed, if we go to 12, being able to win. So that's exciting to see, Rich Reich play the way that it did and win. And look, Leach is on to something. I think who knows until you play, give a underdog a chance like that. Who knows what might happen?
And obviously, as we saw over the weekend, Rich Strike proved that maybe there's a chance that a 12 seed actually pulls off the thing, and that is enough of a reason to expand the playoff. For Brent, appreciate the time as always. You have a good rest of your week, and I will talk to you next week.
Good. Take care, Drew.